السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا، أحسن الله إليكم.
أمين وإياكم أبو عامر، how are you؟
الحمد لله.
Can we go on with the class؟
نعم شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، we are still on our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, and the discussion is still about the rights of the elderly over those who are young, the rights of seniority. What are the things that seniority necessitates that we show towards the seniors, those who are senior to us, who are elderly to us? They've been upon Islam for 10, 15, 20 years, 30, 50 years, and so on. Or some of those who had age and then they became Muslims. Allah honors them for that, in addition to their accepting Islam. The second honor they have is the honor of being upon Islam in old age. To be upon Islam while in old age is from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his servants. Just like the ulama regularly say that when a person becomes old upon knowledge, it's an additional favor for that person in addition to the favor of knowledge. Knowledge is one favor from Allah. An additional favor to knowledge is that the one who is knowledgeable remains upon knowledge for 40, 50, 60, 70 years. He has additionally been favored with working with knowledge, learning additionally, teaching, spreading knowledge, getting busy with knowledge, and so on and so forth. All these are favors from Allah that come from age, that come from elderliness and seniority. Yesterday, we highlighted the importance of the young people allowing the elders to speak, young people remaining silent in the presence of their elders. We heard again the hadith of Abu Rahman ibn Sa'al, that the Prophet had to ask to be silent and allow the eldest amongst them to speak, meaning that if a young person broke that manner, if he broke that rule, he comes to speak in the presence of the elders before the elders, it is also from the sunnah to stop him and make the eldest amongst the people to speak. The young person comes and begins to talk because he's in his counting, whether by claim or in truth, he is more knowledgeable, he is more eloquent, he is more intelligent, and he begins to speak. We can say to that young man, keep quiet, allow the eldest person to speak. We can do that because from the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was what he did to Abdul Rahman. He told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kabir al-kubra, allow the elders to speak. And then we saw that also in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, when he refused to speak because of the presence of his father Umar and the presence of Abu Bakr and Siddiq and then Abu Huraira, as it is clear from other reports. So what the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the manhaj, the sunnah, the manhaj salafi, when we speak with elders is that, or when we speak in the gathering of elders is that, we allow the elders to speak. We allow the elders to speak first. We allow the elders to ask first. We allow the elders to make their choices first. allow the elders to be in front. We give preference to the elders. Al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, Abu Abdullah, and before him, Al-Imam ibn Asakir, in his excellent work, Tariq al-Dimashq, The History of Damascus. This book occurs in over 75 volumes, Tariq al-Dimashq, by Al-Hafiz ibn Asakir, rahimahullah. He mentioned a report from Abdullah ibn Mubarak that Su'il ibn al-Mubarak bi huduri Sufyan ibn Uyayna ammas'alatin Su'il ibn al-Mubarak. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, one of the most learned persons in the history of Islam, Su'il bi huduri Sufyan ibn Uyayna. He was asked in the presence of Sufyan ibn Uyayna ammas'alatin regarding an issue of knowledge. فقال عبد الله بن المبارك said إنا نهينا أن نتكلم عند أكابرنا إنا نهينا أن نتكلم عند أكابرنا We have been prohibited from speaking in the presence of our elders. Ibn al-Mubarak was very, very knowledgeable. He was a well-grounded scholar in the aspects of Quran. In the matters of and so on. Yet when he was asked in the presence of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, who was older than him, he rejected to give an answer despite his knowledge. He said, Rahimahullah, Inna nuhina an natakallama inda akabirina. We have been prohibited from speaking in the presence of our elders. So this is the manhaj of Salaf regarding these matters. So young people, when they are asked a question in the presence of their elders, the sunnah, the manhaj of Salafi is that you allow nuhita and tatakallama inda al-akabir. You have been prohibited from speaking in the presence, allow your elders to speak. Allow them take the pace. Let them lead the speaking. Lead the talking. Don't become a problem to yourself by seeking to speak. That will also mean that what you find some of the young people do is very wrong. Sometimes a young person, the elderly person is speaking. You say, hey, please, allow me to make my point. Please. You want to stop your elder when in fact you should be silent when the elders speak. And unfortunately, some of the young people these days think that that is what the manhaj, that is what Salafiyya is all about. No, Sunnah and Salafiyya has to do remaining silent when your elders speak. For the sake of Allah, let us pay attention to this. And then we came to Babu Taswid al-Akabir, the chapter about making our leaders to be our elders, making our elders to lead us, making the elders to lead. There's a committee of five. Give it to the senior. The most senior should lead. There's a committee of 10. The most senior should lead. You are upon a journey. The most senior should lead. When a man wants to appoint a leader, and the two are upon the same level in terms of their Quran and in terms of coming into the Sunnah, the next thing the Prophet gave priority to is elderliness in terms of leading. It comes number three as far as Salat is concerned. Taswidul Akadir, making your elders to be your leaders. Make them lead. And then we have that author from Hakim ibn Qais ibn Asim. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said regarding Haddathana Amr ibn Marzuk, Qala Haddathana Shu'ba an Qatada, Samaytu Mutarrifan an Hakim ibn Qais ibn Asim, Anna Abahu Awsa inda Mawtihi Bibani, Awsa inda Mawtihi Bani فقال اتقوا الله وسودوا أكبركم فإن القوم إذا سودوا أكبرهم خلفوا فإن القوم إذا سودوا أكبرهم خلفوا أباهم وإذا سودوا أصغرهم أزرى بهم ذلك في أكفائهم وعليكم بالمال واصطناعه فإنه منبهة للكريم ويستغنى به عن اللئيم وإياكم ومسألة الناس فإنها من آخر كسب الرجل وإذا مت فلا تنوح فإنه لم ينح على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وإذا مت فدفنوني بأرض لا يشعر بدفني بكر بن وائل فإني كنت أغافلهم في الجاهلية. الإمام البخاري reports this with his isnad from Hakim ibn Qais ibn Asim. Hakim ibn Qais ibn Asim was a young boy when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam passed away. Hakim ibn Qais ibn Asim. But he is reporting from his father, Qais ibn Asim. So this was something he was reporting from his father, radiallahu anhu, who is affirmed to be a companion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Qais ibn Asim, as we mentioned in the previous class, was a well-respected person amongst the Arabs. In fact, he was a head of the tribe of Tamim, kana min sadati bani Tamim. He was amongst the leaders of Banu Tamim. And even in Jahiliyyah, before he accepted Islam, he was a very honorable person. And one of the things he was known with was that he wouldn't take alcohol. The ulama have told us the story of how was it that Qais ibn Asim began to completely reject alcohol, even during Jahiliyyah before Islam. During Jahiliyyah before Islam, before the Prophet proclaimed Islam, alayhi wa salam, Qais ibn Asim rejected alcohol. And that was because of an incident that happened to him, radiallahu anhu. And all of that shows his deep intellect, his intelligence, and his being merciful with himself. We cited yesterday the statement of Al-Imam ibn Sakan, who said that regarding Qais ibn Asim, kana aqilan haliman yuqtada bihi, kana aqila. Qais ibn Asim was an aqil, was very intelligent, he was halim, he was a person of compassion. Yuqtada bihi, the people in the days of Jahiliyyah used to behave like him. He was a person who, when he behaved, people want to behave like him, because of his deep intelligence and balanced lifestyle. So when he wanted to die, as is common with the righteous people, when they want to pass away, they like to say something to their children if they find an opportunity. If they find an opportunity, they want to say some last words. And we know those last words are usually filled up with a lot of sincerity, last words of parents to children when they pass away. It's usually filled with a lot of sincerity. Few words, but that will mean a lot. Few words, but that will mean a lot. That is what wasiyah comes up to mean when a person begins to pass away. So he said a number of things to his children. The first thing he said to them, radiallahu anhu, was, اتقوا الله وسودوا أكبركم فإن القوم إذا سودوا أكبرهم خلفوا أباهم. He says, اتقوا الله, fear Allah, be conscious of Allah at all times, Allah has said to us in Surah Al-Fatihah, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَصَّيْنَا. Our strong advice for you. وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ. Our strong advice for those who came before you, amongst the Jews and the Christians, and those we give books, مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, before you Muslims, وَإِيَّاكُمْ. And our strong advice to you two Muslims is that, and ittaqullah, each of you should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We gave a little of explanation regarding this yesterday. That formed the first lesson that Qais ibn Asim affirmed to his children. Fear Allah at all times. So parents, for the sake of Allah, when you depart from your children, when they go on a journey, when they travel, when they go away from home, or you are the one leaving the home, we should not forget to remind ourselves about fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the public and in the secret. It is very, very important to always remind ourselves, our friends, the rest of us. Let us always tell ourselves about fearing Allah in the public and fearing Allah in the secret. So Qais ibn Asim said to his children, ittaqullah, fear Allah. The second thing he said to them, radiyallahu anhu, was, wasawwidu akbarakum, make the eldest amongst you be your leader. Make the eldest amongst you your leader. Fa innal qawm idha sawwadu akbarakum, because when the people make idha sawwadu akbarahum, when they make the eldest amongst them be their leader, khalafu abahum, those eldest, the elder ones now, will be able to take and transmit the lessons that they had learned from their own elders, from their own fathers. Their fathers were good people, people who were for righteousness. Those older children, they would have understood the way the elders ran the home. They would have understood the way the elders ran the community. They would have understood the way the society was run. Why? Because they had been with those who were running it. They were seeing them and they were matured. They had age. They could learn from them. So what they had learned from the elders, what they had learned from the people of knowledge, they can now implement it now that they have become the leaders. So he said to his children, radiyallahu anhu, sawwidu akbarakum fa innal qawm idha sawwadu akbarahum khalafu abahum. Make your eldest ones your leaders. Because if a people, إِذَا سَوَّدُوا أَكْبَرَهُمْ, when they make the eldest amongst them to be their leaders, خَلَفُوا أَبَاهُمْ, they are able to stand in for their elders. One of the scholars said that standing in for the elders will include that all the other younger ones will find it easy to align with them. If you have the eldest child being or becoming the head of the family, all the rest who were younger, they will not find a problem to accept his leadership. But if you brought someone who was younger, those who were older than him will find it difficult to follow him because they are older than him. So the eldest should be the leaders in the community. They should lead in the society. Why? They have worked in a lot of places. They have seen a lot of things. They have good experience. As for the youth, the duty they have is to learn from the elders. The youth, the young ones, should learn from the elders. They should look at the elders and take lessons from them because the elders have taken a lot of time. Perhaps sometimes the time regarding the age of the younger one, they have been learning, they have seen life, they have been studying, they are used to life. They are used to statements, they are used to a lot of things, they are used to administration. let the elders come in front. So make your elders your leaders. And then he said to them, what is our sawadu asdara? For if it happens that they brought the youngest amongst them to be their leader, azra bihim zalika fi akfa'ihim, azra bihim zalika. That's why we bring them blame. It will bring them insult fi akfa'ihim, amongst their mates, because their mates will ask them, don't you have elders in your home? Don't you have elders in your community? So how come you are the leaders? Imagine a group of scholars gathering in a community in another country perhaps, and that was a gathering of the head of the scholars from each country. And then one country sends a young boy at 25, at 27, while the rest of the country sent people like Sheikh Hogan, people like Sheikh Rabi al-Madkhali, and the elders amongst the scholars like the Mufti, Hafizahullah, and all others. Then you send one 23-year-old home and represent him because he is the head of the scholars in your community. Will he not be asked that, do you not have elders in your own community who are learned, who are knowledgeable? So that will bring you insults. So push your elders in front. Make your leaders be your elders. So this is the second advice that Qais ibn Asim gave to his children. And it is the point of reference for Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah when he said under the chapter head in Babu Taswidi al-Akabir, when he placed that hadith under Taswid al-Akabir, making the leaders, making the seniors to be the rulers. One of the things he has seen in this asar is this statement of Qais ibn Asim radiallahu anhu, that wastawidu akbarakum fa innal qawm idha sawadu akbarahum khalafu abahum wa idha sawadu asgarahum azra bihim zalika fi akfa'ihim. I hope that this major point of reference is clear. Make your elders, your seniors, make them be the leaders amongst you. Then the third thing he said to them, radiallahu anhu, he said, wa alaykum bil mal, wa alaykum bil mal wastina'ihi, fa innahu manbahatun lil kareem wa yustadna bihi anil la'im. Qais ibn Asim advised his children. He said, alaykum bil mal, seek wealth, O my children, for money. Wastina'ihi, and how to make and manage money. Learn, look for money, get money. Wastina'ihi, learn also how to make money. These two things come together. If a person seeks and makes money, but he does not learn how to maintain and manage the money, he will destroy the money. So this is a full advice. If you seek money, you must learn also how to make money, how to keep the money, how to maintain the money, how to sustain and grow the money. It's there, like you are making it in a factory. Seek money, learn also how to manage the money. So it means from the things in our deen is that no one should be sitting without doing anything. You must be seeking money. You must be looking for means of being able to eat food yourself and your home. Don't just sit down without doing anything, because money has a lot of benefits. The Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, said to us in a hadith that we had read also in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, a hadith of Amr ibn al-As, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, نعم المال الصالح للمرء الصالح. نعم المال.
Hello.
Who is placed on the speaker is making a noise, not from here, not from me. One of the people who has the speaker is making a noise from his home, not from here. Abu Ami.
No, Sheikh, I think there's a glitch in the system. Can I just mute you briefly? I don't mute back, please.
Okay.
You can unmute yourself. Okay, now.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
We are upon the third advice by Qais ibn Asim to his children. And that happens to conform with the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that name al mali as-salihu li rajulin salih. Nice wealth, lawful wealth is very nice. It's very good for a pious person. If a pious person has wealth, of course, he will not spend it except upon the part of piety. Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Khalal, one of those who learns from the students of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he has a book that he has titled Al-Hassu al-Tijara wa Sina'a wa Al-Amal, an encouragement for us, the Muslims, ala tijara, to engage in trade, was sina'a, or some sort of production, wal amal, and other kinds of job by which we seek our living therefrom. And he has mentioned an author from Umar ibn al-Khattab that also confirms the necessity for a Muslim to seek lawful wealth and learn how to maintain the wealth. It was said that one of the men was called, one of the tabi'un who was called Abu Babian. He came to Umar radiallahu anhu, and then Umar said, Ya Abu Babian, ittaqid ma'la. Ya Abu Babian, O Abu Babian, ittaqid ma'la. Seek some wealth, search for some wealth, pursue some wealth. So that means we have a statement from the Prophet, we have a statement from Umar ibn al-Khattab encouraging the Muslims to seek lawful wealth. We also have from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib used to be mentioned or would be mentioned amongst the scholars as the Sayyid al-Tabi'in, one of the most learned and elderly amongst the Tabi'un. He was a scholar who was resident in Medina. He was alive during the time of many companions, radiallahu anhum, and he would still be giving legal verdicts in Medina. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he was reported to have said this also occurs in Al-Hassu ala tijarati wa sina'ati wal amal by Al-Imam Abu Bakr al-Khalal with an isnad. And Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib said, rahimahullah, la khayra fi man la yatlubu al-mal. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib said, rahimahullah, la khayra fi man la yatlubu al-mal. La khayra fi man la yatlubu al-mal. What good is it in that person? There is no good in him. Who is that? Man la yatlubu al-mal. The one who will not speak wealth, the one who will not speak lawful sustenance, la khayra fihi, there is no good in him. Because if he seeks wealth, yakdi bihi baynahu. If he seeks wealth, if he pursues wealth, yakdi bihi baynahu. With the wealth that he gains from his pursuit, from his lawful seeking wealth, yakdi bihi, he will offset his loans if he has a loan upon him and he has sufficiently sought wealth. He will pay his loans
ويصون به عرضه. And with wealth, يصون به عرضه. He will preserve, he will protect his honor. Because he will be saved asking people, going to ask. And having this grace on his face all the time, asking people for his needs. But if he sought wealth, يَسُونُ بِهِ إِرْضَهُ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, he will employ the wealth that he has gotten to protect his honor. وَيَقْضِي بِهِ زِمَامَهُ, يَقْضِي بِهِ زِمَامَهُ, with wealth that he possesses, يَقْضِي بِهِ زِمَامَهُ. Ulama says, زِمَامُهُ حُقُوقُهُ, فَيَقْضِي بِهِ حُقُوقَهُ. The hukuk that he has, if he has wealth, he'll be able to settle them. He has haq on himself. He has the haq of his wife on him. He has the haq of his parents on him. He has the haq of his children on him. The haq of his neighbors on him. If he has wealth, yaqdi bihi dimamahu. Yani yaqdi bihi hukukahu. With wealth that he has sought, he'll be able to settle all of these. وَإِمَّاتَ, and if he dies after having seeking wealth, تَرَكَهُ مِيرَاثًا لِمَنْ بَعَدَهُ, he will leave that genuine wealth, lawful wealth that he has sought. He will leave it as inheritance for his children. So that was why he said, لَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَتْلُبُ الْمَالِ, there is no goodness in the person who will not search for wealth. Because all of these things will be waiting for him. He will have duyun, debts on him. He will have his honor put to stake at all times. He will have hukuk, the rights of wives, children, family. He will not be able to fulfill them. And then if he dies, he will leave his children poor. And the Prophet ﷺ encourages us that when we pass away, we should leave our children rich. Therefore, we also should search for wealth lawfully. This is the advice that Qais ibn Asim gave his children. He said to them, radiallahu anhu, wa alaykum bil mal wastina'ihi. Alaykum bil mal wastina'ihi. Please search for wealth and learn how to maintain your wealth. Fa innahu, Qais ibn Asim explained to his children that if they have wealth, man bahatun lil kareem. If you are kareem, if you are a noble person, if you are a honorable person, wealth will help you sustain and improve your honor. You're already honorable. You now have money. Your money will help you to respect and maintain your dignity in the community. فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ بَهَةٌ لِلْكَرِيمِ. Wealth is a means of helping the individual to sustain his honor and respect. وَيُسْتَغْنَى بِهِ عَنِ اللَّعِيمِ, he will also employ that wealth. يَسْتَغْنِى بِهِ عَنِ اللَّعِيمِ, he will employ the wealth to keep away from useless people. He will employ the wealth to keep away from bad people. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumma reported that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, istagnu alinnas. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, istagnu alinnas. Try to seek self-sustenance away from the people. Seek sufficiency away from the people. Istagnu alinnas. Seek sufficiency away from people. Don't live a lifestyle where you have to depend on the people. And that will be because of the individual not searching for wealth and not looking out for how to learn to manage the wealth that we have. So if you tag no one in us, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you tag no one in us, be self-sufficient away from people. And Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, Imam Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, will say, ma ahsana al-istighna Ma ahsana istighna anina. How nice is it? How good is it? Istighna anina. Being self-sufficient away from people, not being dependent on them. How nice is it? It's so much of a nice thing. And Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri before Al-Imam Ahmad will always say that. Al-Malu fi hadha al-zaman silahun. Wealth in these days is silah, the sword. Because if you have the sword, you can proceed and seek for your benefit. If you have the sword, you can also defend yourself against an aggression. If you have the sword, you can protect yourself against an aggression, and then you can advance when you desire. You can advance when you desire if you have sword. You can also protect and defend yourself against an aggression. This is the meaning of this statement by Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. So from the things that is necessary for us to teach our children is talabul mal, wastina'uhu, seeking wealth and an ability to maintain the wealth. For the sake of Allah, seek wealth. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri will say, كانوا يرون الساعة عونا على يرون الساعة. The Salaf, the early Muslims, they see that if you have a sa, you have wealth, you have expanded wealth. عونا عن الدين, it will help you. It will help you support your religion. If a person with good wealth, lawful wealth, it will help you support your religion. For the sake of Allah, let us found good wealth and learn how to maintain and appreciate the wealth. This is the third thing that Qais ibn Aqim told his children. The first thing he advised them was to fear Allah. The second thing he told them was to make the eldest ones amongst them to be their leaders. The third thing he told them was to seek wealth and learn how to maintain wealth. Because when you have wealth as a honorable person, it will help you sustain your dignity and it will keep you away from useless people. The fourth advice Qais ibn Aqim gave his children, he said, radiallahu anhu, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمَسْأَلَةَ النَّاسِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمَسْأَلَةَ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ أَخِرِ كَسْبِ الرَّجُلِ إِيَّاكُمْ وَمَسْأَلَةَ النَّاسِ. Oh my children, I warn you, don't be asking from the people. Don't go and be begging the people. And I think this message is so, so absolutely necessary in our own times. مَسْأَلَةُ النَّاسِ. It's a common thing now. People beg a lot now. People beg a lot. With the slightest excuse, they want to beg. They want to ask you, can you give me money? Can you provide me money? Thank you. It's so, so common now. So common. So common. So do everything that will not make you have to beg. One of them is seek wealth. Seek wealth. Seek wealth. Now let me clarify this. This is not talking about women begging their husbands for their needs, asking for money from their needs. So let no woman ask me at question time. That are you saying that women too should be searching for wealth? Or that are you saying that women should not ask, they should not beg their husbands? No, the women are not part of these. Allah has made the women to be upon the rights of the women to be upon their husbands. And that was why in that statement of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, he told the men that if they have wealth, it will help them to fulfill the rights of their families upon them, as we had explained earlier. So it's not talking about a woman relying, completely relying on her husband. A woman should completely rely on her husband. That's why Allah commanded the men that لِيُنْفِقْ ذُوسَعْتِ مِنْ سَعْتِ وَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. So men, if you have wealth, be profuse in how you spend upon your wives. And if you don't have, be patient. Spend just what you have. And then he said elsewhere that وَعَلَى الْمَوْلُودِ لَهُ رِزْكُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Those men who have children born for them, it is their duty to take care of the women, to take care of the children that have been born upon them. So we are not talking about women at all. We are talking about men. So unfortunately, a lot of women too beg these days. Women should stop it. Stop begging. Your duty has been placed upon the man. If there will be begging, let the man beg, not you. These days, women beg a lot. They make posters and begin to send it. One woman has this, one woman has that. That woman has a brother. She has a father. She has an uncle. Let her brother and her father and her uncle do the begging, not she. Women don't beg. If it's a woman under a man, then the husband should beg, not the woman. Don't push the women in front to beg for the sake of Allah. It's very common now. Women don't beg. Stop begging. If you have a husband, let your husband do the begging. If you have a father, your father should do the begging, if need be. If you have a brother, it should be the duty of your brother. If you have an uncle, it is the duty of your uncle. It is now very difficult for a woman not to have all. No father, no uncle, no brother, no relative. Okay. How about the community where she's living? There are men in that community. There's a masjid in that community. The imam and the local community should take care of that woman. If need be that they ask for help from others, the men should do it. Women should start begging. They should stop begging. The women should stop begging. Come on now. Come on now. They make posters, design it, and start begging. Then a woman writes her name. She writes her account number. Protect the women. Preserve the women. Honor the women. Be kind to them. Don't push them in front to beg. Don't push women in front to beg. Even the men are so discouraged from begging. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ صَاحِبُ الْمَسْأَلَةِ مَا لَهُ فِيهَا لَمْ يَسْأَلْ لَوْ يَعْلَمُ صَاحِبُ الْمَسْأَلَةِ مَا لَهُ فِيهَا لَمْ يَسْأَلْ. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is also from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, has been collected by al-Imam al-Tabarani and al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah, mentions it authentic in his tahqiq on at-targhib wa at-tarhib. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, لو يعلم صاحب المسألة ما له فيها لم يسأل. If the one coming to ask the people, صاحب المسألة, the one who is asking, the one who has a need, asking, begging the people, the one who is begging, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ مَا لَهُ فِيهَا, if he knows what his begging contains, the ulama say, مِنَ الْهَوَانِ, out of, in terms of disgrace, وَالْإِثْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, and sin before Allah. If you know the kind of disgrace, if you know this kind of sin that begging involves, لَمْ يَسْأَلْ, he will never beg. If you know what it involves, he will never beg. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his freed slave, Thawban, said, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, this hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawood, that man takaffala li alla yas'ala an-nasa shay'a. Man takaffala li, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, whoever guarantees me Allah yas'ala an-nasa shay'a, that he will never ask the people for anything. Atakaffalu lahu bil jannah. I guarantee him al-jannah. I will never beg anybody for anything. Give me, provide me, beg, ask. If you guarantee not to beg, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, I guarantee you al-jannah. And that was why it was known with Thawban, Mawla Ummi Salama or Mawla Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Mr. Oban was not rich at all, and he never begged anybody. So when people say, ask for your needs, say, I will never beg. The prophet told me, alayhi salatu wassalam, man takaffala li alla yas'al an-nas, alla yas'al an-nas shay'a, atakaffalu lahu bil jannah. Whoever guarantees me never to ask for anything from people, I guarantee him al-jannah. All of these go to discourage begging. Now, ulama gave shurut. Sometimes people become so pressed. They find it so difficult to do anything without having to ask for help from others. The ulama say that one has shurut. It has condition. The first shurut, according to Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, he said, "An la yuzilla nafsahu." You're having to ask for help. Should not bring you idlal. Should not bring you disgrace. Don't ask for help in such a manner that you are becoming disgraced. Don't disgrace yourself because you want to ask for help. The second condition, وَلَا يُلِحُّ فِي السُّؤَالِ. لَا يُلِحُّ فِي السُّؤَالِ. You will not become repetitive and insistent while asking. You ask him, you ask him again, you ask him again, you ask him again, you ask him again. Don't do this. You beg the man, you beg him again, you beg him again, you beg him again, you beg him again. Al-ilhah, al-ilhah, fi su'al, mamnu'a. Al-ilhah, fi su'al, mamnu'a. Being repetitive and insistent and affirmative. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It is prohibited. Don't do that. The third thing we mustn't do at all while seeking for help is la. Yu'udhil mas'ul. The one who is asking for help, la yu'udhil mas'ul. It should not bring harm or insult or embarrassment to the person that you are asking. The first one, don't disgrace yourself. The second one, don't be insistent and affirmative. The third one, don't bring insult and disgrace to the person that you are asking. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, rahimahullah, فَإِن فُكِدَ شَرْتٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الشُّرُوتِ. If any one of these conditions become missing, فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ بِالتِّفَاقِ فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ بِالتِّفَاقِ. Al-Imam al-Nawawi said, فَإِنْ فُكِدَ شَرْطٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الشُّرُوتِ. If any one of these conditions become missing, you are begging and you are disgracing yourself while begging. You are begging and you are becoming insistent while begging. You are begging and you are bringing disgrace to the person that you are begging. If any one of these become missing, فَهُوَ حَرَامٌ بِالتِّفَاقِ. Your begging is prohibited by consensus. So don't beg to disgrace yourself. Don't beg to make ilhah, insisting and affirming. Likewise, don't beg to bring insult upon the person that you are begging. So Qais ibn Asim basically prohibited his children from begging. He says, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمَسْأَلَةَ النَّاسِ. I warn you from begging the people. فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ أَخِرِ كَسْبِ الرَّجُلِ. Let us correct it. In most of the scripts, you find it as فَإِنَّهَا أَخِرِ with a mad. It shouldn't have a mad. It shouldn't have a mad. It is akhir, and akhir is the bad thing that comes after good things, the bad thing that comes after good ones. So your asking is the bad thing that happens in terms of the things with which you sustain yourself. That is the bad part of sustenance. Asking is the bad part of sustenance. Begging is the bad part of making sustenance. Some people build sustenance upon begging. That's the bad side. It's bad. So the companion Qais ibn Asim radiallahu anhu said to his children, فَإِنَّهَا, because begging, when you beg, mean أَخِرِ كَسْدَ الرَّجُلِ, is from the baddest, from the worst, so to speak. From the worst, not baddest. From the worst of what the individual will make earnings from. From the worst of what you will depend on for your earning is to be begging. It's a very, very, very bad thing to do. Qais ibn Asim went on to talk to his tutor. Radiallahu anhu. He said, وَإِذَا مُتُّ فَلَا تَنُوحُ إِذَا مُتُّ. When I pass away, when I finally die, فَلَا تَنُوحُ. Don't wail over me. النِّيَاحَةُ is to wail over the dead. To be wailing. How does that happen? You see women shouting and men shouting, making the noise, hitting themselves on the ground. This is an-niyah. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made us understand that it is from the aspects of jahiliyyah to make what? An-niyah. It is from the aspects of what? Ignorance. To make an-niyah. An-niyah is to be wailing, shouting, beating yourself on the ground, crying. A person can weep. You can shed tears at the death of a person. This itself is from rahmah, from mercy and compassion in your heart, according to the Messenger alayhi salam. But hitting the body on the ground, tearing your clothes, beating yourself, slapping yourself on the face, all of these are from the deeds of the days of Jahiliyyah, and it is prohibited. So Qais ibn Asim said to his children, فَإِنْ وَإِذَا مُتُّ, when I finally pass away, فَلَا تَنُوحُ, do not wail over me. And he gave them the reason. فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُنَحْ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُنَحْ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. When the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no wailing behind the Prophet. Shouting, hitting the body on the ground, because the Prophet had told them about it, that doing so is from the ways of Jahiliyyah. So don't wail over your dead. The best person who will die, alayhi salatu wasalam, is the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. As important, as nice, as honorable, as high ranking as the Prophet was, alayhi salatu wasalam. No one went on to be hitting the body on the ground, tearing clothes on himself, and jumping and hitting himself on the ground when the Prophet passed away. So Qais ibn Asim advised his children, وَإِذَا مُتُّ, when I finally pass away, فَلَا تَنُوحُ, do not wail over me, فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُنَحْ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. This is the fifth advice. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody did that over him. So don't wail over me. Don't hit yourselves on the ground. Don't slap on your face over him. One aspect of an-niyah that is very common today is the people gathering for condolence. It is from the aspects of an-niyah. You gather for condolence and you cook food, like what they refer to as 3 days or 7 days, or 10 days, or 40 days, people gather because of the dead, and then they make food. It is from the aspects of Jahiliyyah also. It is from the aspects of Jahiliyyah to gather for 3 days, for 10 days, for 9 days, for 15 days, for 20 days, for 40 days, over the dead. Then you make food, you make puff puff, you make akara, what do you call it? You make food, and you distribute the food. Some people come to read Quran, and then all of these, it is also from the aspects of an-niyah, and it is prohibited. It was not done over the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. And one of the companions of the Prophet, Jarir ibn al-Bajali, radiallahu anhu, he reported, he said, Kunna nara, we the companions of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, we used to consider ijtima'a ahli al-mayyit wa sani'ati al-ta'am ba'da dafnihi min an-niyaha. Kunna nara al-ijtima'a ila ahli al-mayyit wa sani'ati al-ta'am ba'da dafnihi min an-niyaha. We, the companions, from the things we consider a part of an-niyaha, and an-niyaha is prohibited. When people gather ila ahli al-mayyit, people gather at the family of the dead person. They come and gather there. Wasani'at at-ta'am. And then they make food. Ba'da dafnihi. After burying that person. They can do it that very day. They can do it in 3 days time. They can do it in 10 days time. In fact, They can do 1 year remembrance, 10 year remembrance. All of these fall under this. Gathering to make food over the dead person. It is from the aspect of aniyaha. And aniyaha, the Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, it is from the aspects of al-jahiliyah. So this man, Qais ibn Asim, said to his children, إِذَا مُتْتُ فَلَا تَنُوحُ. Don't make niyaha. Don't wail over me. Don't gather and make food because I have died. فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُنَحْ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Because that was not done over the corpse of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Now the last advice. Qais ibn Asim said to his children, وَإِذَا مُتْتُ. When I also finally die, فَدْفِنُونِ بِأَرْضٍ لَا يَشْعُرُ بِدَفْنِي بَكْرُ إِبْنُ وَائِلِ. When I die, فَدْفِنُونِ بِأَرْضٍ. Bury me on a land. لَا يَشْعُرُ بِدَفْنِي بَكْرُ إِبْنُ وَائِلِ. The family, the tribe of بَكْرُ إِبْنُ وَائِلِ. It was a tribe. It was a tribe. It was a whole community. And that's why in other reports, he says, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَكُونُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ هَذَا الْحَيِّ مِنْ بَكْرِ إِبْنِ وَائِلٍ. It was a community. It was an area. They were called Bakr ibn Wa'il. This companion, Qais ibn Hazim, during the days of Jahiliyyah, he used to have issues with them. And he said it, فَإِنِّي كُنْتُ أُغَافِلُهُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. I used to attack them by surprise in the days of Jahiliyyah, long ago. So he said in another report that, فَلَا آمَنُ سَفِيهًا. I will not guarantee one person who is not being sensible. أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَمْرًا يُدْخِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَيْبًا فِي دِينُكُمْ. I wouldn't be surprised that someone who is not being reasonable in that tribe will think about what we had done against ourselves in the days of Jahiliyyah. And then he will do something, يُدْخِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَيْبًا فِي دِينِكُمْ, that will bring you, my children, disgrace in your deen. Because I used to be tough against them. So I wouldn't guarantee that anyone amongst them will do something and that thing will become a thing of disgrace for you, my children. Maybe one of them will come and open up my grave, disfigure me, and so on, by way of taking a revenge and bring insults to you. So don't bury me in a place where these people will see me. This means that the parent can also tell his children about the people he fears. We relate, we go forth and backwards. We have friends. We have enemies among friends. We still relate with as friends. We have enemies among friends. We still relate with as friends. We recognize their enmity, but we only try to manage their enmity. We can tell their children about them. So and so person, you see him with me, don't allow him touch my corpse. Don't say that he's the one who will bash me because you saw me with him. And that's why the early Muslims will always talk about who should bash them, who should wrap them, who should touch them, and all of these. So in this case, Qais ibn Asim was telling his children, don't bury me in a place these people, because we were enemies in those days. And one of them could do something that would bring disgrace to you, my children, regarding my corpse. So bury me in a place that they will never know where you have buried me. So it is lawful for a person to do that, as we have seen regarding this companion, Qais ibn Asim. But let's not forget, the point of reference here is the Taswid al-Akabir, making our leaders to come from our elders. Making our leaders to come from our elders. Inshallah, we shall stop here and continue from the next class about some of the things we can start. Children, there are some things in Islam. Alayhi wa sallam said some things and he gave class. Inshallah, tell your children to fear Allah. Number two, he told them to select the elders to be the leaders. Let's not forget, youth, your time as youth is to learn, and you cannot lead before learning. You have to learn before you lead. If you lead as youth, when will you learn? May Allah protect you. The third thing is make money. We all should look for means lawfully to make genuine money and manage whatever money that we have made. We should not take knowledge, do courses about financial management, about all of these, so that you know how to manage money and manage resources to protect your honor and your dignity, and it will help you to keep away from evil people. The fourth thing he said to his children, he warned them against begging. Don't beg, because from the worst of things that anybody will depend on for sustenance is what? Is begging. The fifth thing he told them was where to bury him, because he had a trouble with some people in the early days before Islam. He feared that anyone amongst them may become unreasonable and do something that will bring disgrace to his children. So he told them, bury me in a place where they can't find my corpse. So these are the five things that Christ did not often said to his children. And the point of reference for us in this narration is that when we choose leaders, age and seniority is important. Can we have a few questions, Abu Amir?
Naam Shaykhana, Jazakumullah Khair.
Ameen wa antum fa Jazakumullah Khair.
The first one here is, Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Elderly person who is known to be, can we give an elderly person who is known to be a person of innovation preference to speak to people about Islam? This person comes forward to speak to the congregation mostly after Fajr Salah, even though. Can you hear me, sir?
No, even though it was the last thing that I heard.
Okay, can we give an elderly person who is known to be a person of innovation preference to speak to people about Islam? This person comes forward to speak to the congregation mostly after Fajr Salah, even though he is not the imam.
If he's not the imam, then you speak with the imam. If he has to be stopped because he's spreading evil, then you follow good process. The young person, if he stands up to stop him, he can keep you short. He can keep quiet if you don't have respect. And once he comes from this angle, it will be difficult for you to say any other thing any other time. He will silence you. So if you stand up to say, sit down to an elderly person, he will silence you and will employ his age against you. You will not be able to speak at that very moment, and you will disgrace you, you will not be able to speak some other time. So preserve your honor. Go to the imam and stop him officially from the masjid. That's a better approach to it. If you stand up to face him, he can put you down forever. More so if it's a person who has you down, face you, tell you I'm older than you, keep quiet, this, that, and so on. So go to the masjid, speak with the imam, speak with those in authority, make them see reasons, convince them patiently. Oh, young man, things may not work between day and night. Be patient, follow due process, and then you will reach there, inshallah, with good dua also. So speak well, address the matter well with the imam privately or with others who can tell him not to come again, and then you can effect the change. Another thing is that most times we, many of the brothers upon Sunnah, you're in a masjid, you don't say anything. You're always keeping quiet. You don't preach to the people. You are not reading the Quran and explaining it. You are not reading any book of hadith after Fajr to explain. So you give the chance for somebody else to do it. The Salafi, you hardly find a Salafi brother in his masjid relating with the masjid to teach the masjid. It's very, very hard. He's just full of himself. He wants to condemn evil, but he's not spreading goodness. You are not spreading goodness, but you want to condemn evil. The two of them go hand in hand. You spread goodness, and then you condemn evil. But you want to condemn evil, you have not spread goodness. So also the young person, pay attention to this. Seek good permission from the masjid and spread goodness. It is when you explain the deen to the people, they recognize the deviation in the deviation of the deviant who comes to talk to them. They will know that this thing is wrong. They will ask him questions to show that he's a deviant. But when you are silent in the masjid, you are not teaching anybody, you are not explaining anything to anybody. When someone else stands up tomorrow, you want to shut them down. I think we can stop this too. So we have addressed this question from two angles. The way to stop this elderly person is go to the imam, go to the community, convince the community about the evil the man is spreading. The community can now stop him. If you want to stand up to him in the masjid, that's dangerous. He can bring you down forever. The second approach to this is you teach in the masjid according to your ability. According to your ability, teach in the masjid. According to your ability, teach what you know. So I think these are the two approach formats that I can suggest to this brother regarding the question that you have asked Abu Amir.
This next one reads, Assalamu alaikum. Please, how do we corroborate the seeking of wealth with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he said, on the day of judgment, the poor will enter paradise before the rich?
Okay, I think that question has to do with the poor coming into the Jannah before the rich. What does that mean? Of course, coming into Al Jannah, some people will come before others. It doesn't stop you from making good wealth if you go into Al Jannah before Uthman ibn Affan, because he has a lot of wealth to account for. And then he comes into Al Jannah, you see him rise, going up in his levels, because Al Jannah is in Darajat. You went in before him, you are upon a lower level. And then he comes after you and then goes up the scale, up in Al Jannah. So who has benefited more? The one with wealth or the one without wealth? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us understand that wealth is from the favors of Allah. The companions themselves came to complain that the rich companions have taken all the goodness. Zahaba ahlu dusuri bil ujur. The companions with wealth, they have gone with all the rewards. So all of these go to make us understand that to have wealth is better than not having wealth, all things being equal. To have wealth is better than not to have wealth, all things being equal. So allow the poor man to go into Al-Jannah first. Bismillah, on the day of Qiyamah, the hadith is authentic. But you, as a rich person, spend your money well, so that when you come into Al-Jannah, you go to a rank higher than the rank of the poor person, all other things being equal. So it's better to have money than not to have money. Seek wealth. Seek wealth. I hope that is clear, Abu Amir.
Ameen
wa iyyak.
This one reads, please, my question is, if the most experienced about an affair is the young, can he make the elders speak in that aspect?
The elders should start if it's about speaking, if it's about preference. The elders should start. They should rather introduce the young one. We have come, we're a community, we're a state, and the leader of the delegation can introduce the young one. This young one will speak on our, address the matter. So you will find that the person who will still open up the discussion is who? The elderly. The young one should come after the
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Abu Amir.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
I think there was a disruption there.
Naam, yes sir.
But I think the question was clear, the answer was clear too, inshallah.
Naam, jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum, jazakumullah khair. Can we take one more question for the day?
All right, sir. So this one here is asking, at what age should we start introducing children to seek wealth?
Well, it depends on the child and it depends on the family. It depends on the child and it depends on the family. From a very young age of 6-7, we must begin to make them understand that wealth is sought. If they want something, make them understand that the money to buy this, the way to get it is that you work for it. We tell them subtly the way we tell children things, subtly, just according to their understanding. Make children know from at least age 6, 7, 8, make them know that money is not plucked on the tree. Make them know that money is worked for. And then as a people, they are going to grow up also to work for money. Let them begin to start thinking about this at a very, very, very early age. I think age 6 to 7 is good enough to make them understand that money is sought and not plucked. Money is worked for and not just spent. And then from age 10, 11, they must begin to understand, how is it that my own parents earn what they earn? Age 10, your children must know what you are doing to earn money. In fact, it is one way to make them responsible children. They must see you struggling. They must see you trying to make a living. Make it clear to them what I'm spending on you. If I don't do what I'm doing, I don't get the money. One of the people went to Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, and said, Ya Abu Abdullah, Hadha Ibni. So Abu Abdullah, this is my child, this is my son. Fada'a li wa qala li abi. The boy who was the one reporting the narration said, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal then prayed for me and said to my father, Al-Zim Husuk. Make him stay in the market. Make him stay in the shop. This young boy, let him go to the shop with you. وَجَنِّبْهُ أَقْرَانَهُ. And make him avoid his mates. The ulama explained that the reason Imam Ahmad told him to make him avoid his mates is that the children of the pious people become impious when they begin to relate to the children of the impious. The children of the pious become impious when they begin to relate to the children of the impious, and then they are still young. They are young. So, but the point of reference in this narration is that Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah told the man, Al-Zim Husuk, make your son stay in the market. Make him stay in the shops. So by that, he would have been seeing that money is made. He would have been seeing that money, we should be prudent with it. We make money. We struggle somewhat to get money. So he'll become a responsible child in terms of his requests from his father. Even the request he'll make, he'll think about it, because he knows that that has to do with making more money. So from age 10, your children should know, what is my father doing? How does my father earn? By age 10, they should know. And before age 13, they themselves should start thinking how they themselves will make money. They would have been matured enough to begin to know that. It will help them when they select courses they study in university. It will help them a lot. It will help them focus, because they now know that they have to make money to also take care of the wives they will have in the future and the children they will also have in the future. I think that this gradual process is the approach to it. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakumullah khairan, Sheikh.
Can we stop here, Abu Amir?
Naam, yes, sir.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Ameen wa iyaakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa maghfirat.